Welcome everybody to this audio in which we will examine Paul's testimony regarding the gospel he received by revelation as recorded in Galatians chapter 1. The listener should read Galatians chapter 1, especially from verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Verses 11 and 12 are of particular interest. And brothers, I make known to you the gospel which was preached by me, that it is not according to man. For I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it, except by a revelation of Jesus Christ. We read in verse 17 and 18 of Galatians chapter 1, that Paul didn't go to Jerusalem to consult those who were apostles before him, but he went into Arabia. I suspect he was there for 40 days, just as the 12 were taught for 40 days. He then returned to Damascus, and 3 years after that, he went up to Jerusalem. But the fact remains that the gospel he preached was given to him by revelation. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12:7 that he was given an abundance of revelations. And another important revelation is found in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. He says there, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you, ward, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." Let's read verses 8 and 9 of this same chapter, verses dealing with this same dispensation, this same revelation, and find other essential criteria which define it. Paul says in verse 8, "This grace is given to me, who am less than the least of all saints, to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ among the Gentiles." So this gospel is of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let Paul continue in verse 9. "And to bring to light what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from eternity has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Now in Colossians 1, verse 26, we have Paul talking about this same mystery. And here we read, not that it was hidden in God, but equally as emphatic, that it was hidden away from ages and from generations. First up, the mystery or the dispensation of Ephesians and Colossians, that great revelation given to Paul, cannot be found in the law of Moses and the prophets. It was hidden in God until revealed to Paul. Now, there are many who think that the gospel given to Paul as recorded in Galatians 1, the gospel given by revelation, is the same or the beginning of the dispensation of the grace of God given also by revelation. Are these two revelations the same? Or is the gospel of Galatians the seed and Ephesians the full-blossomed tree? Before examining Paul's gospels preached in Acts 9 and 13 and other relevant scriptures of the Acts period, which will explain to us this gospel he received by revelation in Galatians, let's remind ourselves of the injunction as found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Paul exhorts us all to distinguish things that differ. Perhaps some of my listeners can see a difference already. In Ephesians 3, the revelation he received was a dispensation. A dispensation is a complete set of conditions, an economy of God, which is the stewardship in operation today. Did this present dispensation begin when Paul preached in Acts 9 or in Acts 13 the gospel given by revelation of Galatians 1? We shall see. In Galatians, Christ revealed to Paul good news to deliver. Was that gospel of Galatians the set of conditions in operation today? What was the dispensation surrounding that good news of Galatians chapter 1? The scriptures themselves and the words of our Apostle Paul will make this matter clear to us one way or the other. And I hope the listener enjoys the survey that we're about to undertake of the dispensational settings of the gospel that Paul preached in Acts 9 and 13. If those two chapters are the same dispensational settings, or show the root beginning of the dispensation of Ephesians and Colossians, then yes, the gospel given by revelation in Galatians is linked to the revelation of the mystery of Ephesians 3 and Colossians 1. If not, then we must keep separate things that are different. Turning to Acts chapter 9, we find Ananias somewhat hesitant about going to see Saul of Tarsus, but eventually, being assured, he went, as verse 17 says, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you in the way in which you came, has sent me to you, that you might see and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Being filled with the Holy Spirit during the Acts period was part of the Pentecostal jurisdiction, powers of the coming age, as Hebrews 6 tells us. And the coming age of Hebrews, Corinthians, and Romans, and Thessalonians was not the dispensation of the grace of God. These mighty signs and wonders, which were so evident during the Acts period, were, as we know, a confirmation of the word preached, as mentioned in Mark 16, verse 20. And as the writer of Hebrews also affirms, saying in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, these signs and wonders, miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, confirmed the salvation which at first began to be spoken by the Lord. Oh dear, if Paul's gospel during the Acts period was accompanied by supernatural gifts, then they were a confirmation of our salvation not hidden in God, but which was first spoken by the Lord in the Gospels. If Paul wrote Hebrews, then we can't link the gospel by revelation of Galatians with the dispensation of the grace of God of Ephesians, else we better start the church which is his body in the Gospels. Or perhaps we should start the church which is his body in Acts chapter 2, where Peter, speaking under inspiration, refers his Jewish listeners to Joel chapter 2. And Joel chapter 2 verse 28 says, "And it shall be afterward I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." Now, would my listener please read Joel chapter 2 and note that the promise of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in a context of Israel's restoration. Verse 18 of Joel 2, "Then Jehovah will be jealous for his land and his people." Verse 21, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for Jehovah will do great things." Verse 23, "Be glad then, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Jehovah your God." Verse 24, "The floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil." And verse 25, "And I will restore to you the years which the swarming locust has eaten." Oh dear, I don't think the supernatural gifts of prophecy have anything to do with the church which is his body. And if my listener would like further a study on the supernatural gifts, he or she will find that they first appeared in Israel's typical redemption, which of course is where Paul starts his gospel in Acts 13. And the first gifts were given to those who were slaves to build the tabernacle of God and the priest's clothes for service in that tabernacle. I don't think in any stretch of the imagination we can say that the supernatural gifts were only given at the beginning of the church, which is his body. They belong to Israel. They were written by Paul in scriptures which speak of the ends of the ages, and they have nothing to do with the mystery, the revelation given to Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 and Colossians chapter 1. Oh yes, the Apostle Paul received the supernatural gifts which accompanied him all through the Acts period. As he proclaimed the gospel he received by revelation. There is a link. Supernatural gifts, the restoration of Israel, the gospel by revelation. If the supernatural gifts are part and parcel of Israel's history and prophecy, John the Baptist saying there was one coming who would baptize in them, then we have our first hint that the Gospel of Galatians is not the beginning of the revelation of the mystery of Ephesians 3 and Colossians 1. If Paul was given a progressive revelation, then perhaps these gifts should have faded away. But at the end of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, we find the Apostle Paul still exercising these supernatural gifts. Romans is popularly acknowledged as being the last written by Paul in the Acts period, and written around Acts chapter 20. And in the book of Romans chapter 15, he gives testimony that his gospel was accompanied with them. If the listener will read verses 18 and 19 of that 15th chapter, they will find it concludes like this: "So that from Jerusalem and all around to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Here we have the gospel of Christ mentioned by Paul and accompanied with supernatural wonders and signs and gifts of the Holy Spirit. But wait, in Romans 15, the Apostle Paul has just written from verse 4 to 13 an exposition of the hope that's anticipated in the book of Romans. Verse 4 of Romans 15 says, "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now then, he says in verse 8, "And I say, Jesus Christ has become a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers." Please underline "promises made to the fathers" because we will meet that again in Paul's gospel in Acts 13. As Paul outlines these promises made to the fathers, which are the hope before the believers of the book of Romans, he quotes Psalm 18, verse 49. And would the listener please read Psalm 18, verse 50, and not be surprised to find that there's a reference to David and to his seed forevermore. That also we will find in Acts 13. It certainly appears that there's no change from Acts 13 to the book of Romans, and the supernatural gifts are in a context of the restoration of Israel. Remember, we're in Romans chapter 15, where Paul says that he preached the gospel of Christ fully accompanied with supernatural signs and wonders. And we're reading the same hope that Paul writes about in the very same chapter. Now, in verse 10 of Romans 15, the Apostle Paul quotes the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32:43, "Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will start the church which is his body." I don't think so. "For he will avenge the blood of his servants, and he will render vengeance to his foes, and will be merciful to his land and to his people." And friends, that's the same theme as Joel chapter 2, the same theme as Peter's gospel in Acts chapter 2, and the same setting of the supernatural gifts. The supernatural gifts have nothing to do with the dispensation of the grace of God. The hope of Romans, when Paul had the supernatural gifts, was the restoration of Israel. Romans is a kingdom on the earth epistle. And if my listener is still not convinced, then that listener should read Romans 15, verse 12, and go and read Isaiah chapter 11. And we will not find the blessed hope of Ephesians and Colossians in Isaiah chapter 11. Romans 15, Paul tells he preaches the gospel of Christ with supernatural gifts, and the hope of Romans 15 is the Old Testament, the restoration of Israel. There is nothing dispensationally in the book of Romans of the later revelation of Ephesians and Colossians. The listener will be very aware that the supernatural are not accompanying the revelation of the dispensation of the grace of God of Ephesians and Colossians. Neither is the hope of Israel in view in Ephesians and Colossians. All these things are significant differences, helping us to see clearly where the gospel of Galatians given by Revelation fits in the dispensations of God. But let's focus on the gospel of Christ. Paul has already mentioned that in Romans chapter 1. In verse 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul says this, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." When Romans was written and this gospel was preached, accompanied by supernatural signs and wonders, it was Jew first. This, of course, is not the dispensational setting of Ephesians and Colossians. Another difference. Verse 17 continues, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul clearly tells us that this gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, contains the righteousness of God being revealed, and it is embedded in the prophet Habakkuk. So the gospel of Christ and the righteousness of God by faith is embedded in prophecy. Further to this, Paul elaborates in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Paul clearly says that by the works of the law, none of all flesh will be justified in his sight. But now, a righteousness of God has been revealed, just like Paul's gospel, apart from the law, but it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. Does my listener know that in the book of Romans, Paul quotes the Old Testament approximately 70 times? And in the epistles written during the Acts period, he quotes the Old Testament nearly 400 times. This is the gospel given to Paul by revelation, remember. It is of significant difference that the epistles written after Israel was set aside at the end of the book of Acts, and Paul writes about the other revelation, the revelation of the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God, the Apostle Paul can only quote the Old Testament about 8 times. Now, the fact is, the dispensation of the grace of God was never embedded in prophecy. It was hidden away from ages and generations, indeed, hidden in God. But righteousness by faith, the gospel of Christ in the book of Romans, was found in the Old Testament. Indeed, in Romans chapter 4, Paul refers to Abraham and David as witnesses to this great truth. But that doesn't mean that the dispensation of the grace of God began in Genesis 15 or in the life of King David. Returning to Acts chapter 9, we read clearly of the message that Paul proclaimed to the Jews in the synagogues at Damascus. And we read verses 20 through 22. "And immediately he proclaimed Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all who heard him were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and came here for that reason, that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived at Damascus, proving that this one is the Christ or the Messiah." Before focusing on the gospel found in verse 20 and 22, we notice the amazement of those who heard Saul of Tarsus converted now, and it does remind us of a verse in Galatians chapter 1. Would the listener read Galatians chapter 1, 21 to 24? Verse 23 contains a monumental statement by Paul regarding the gospel he received by revelation. And this is what he says: "But only they were hearing that he, who then persecuted us, now preaches the faith which he once ravaged, and they glorified God in me." Fascinating, isn't it? And a wonderful testimony by Paul himself that what he received by revelation was the doctrine and the faith that he previously destroyed. The faith he previously destroyed was the doctrine, the faith, the teaching that was taught by the other apostles and prophets who were in Christ before Paul. Let's go to another passage in 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 9 through 11 have these poignant parts in them. "For I am the least of the apostles," says Paul, "and am not sufficient to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. Therefore, whether it was I or they," the "they" must include the other apostles and all those he'd previously mentioned earlier in the chapter. "So we preached, and so you believed." It didn't matter whether Paul preached the gospel, friends, or whether James or the 12 or the 500 brethren or Peter or the 11 preached it. The Corinthians heard it and they believed and were saved by that preaching. Can there be any doubt that Paul told the truth when he said he preached the faith he once destroyed? Here is another significant difference. Paul preached the gospel given by revelation, which was the faith he once destroyed. Others preached the same message. Peter preached it to the Israelites. Paul preached it to the Israelites and the Gentiles and kings. The gospel given by revelation to Paul is not the dispensation given by revelation as found in Ephesians and Colossians. That was given uniquely to Paul. Since all of the Corinthians were the church of God at Corinth, sanctified in Christ Jesus and called out, Paul's testimony makes it plain that not all of them were saved at Paul's preaching. There are some today who go so far as to contradict Paul as to say that you can only be saved if you believe the gospel given to Paul. But Paul says he preached the doctrine he once destroyed, and in Corinthians others preached and the Corinthians believed. How is it that zeal for God brings people into such positions of gross error? The answer is simple. They claim to apply the Bible study rules, but in fact they don't, and especially they don't test things that are different. I think we might have to seriously consider that simply because Paul received his gospel by revelation, that one, it was not the mystery of Ephesians that was hidden in God, because other people were teaching it. Two, it can't be hidden away from ages and generations, because Paul's gospel was accompanied by 400 Old Testament quotes. And three, it was all accompanied with divinely appointed supernatural signs and wonders, which were part of Israel's history and prophecy. Let us return to Acts chapter 9 and listen to Paul's gospel. Remember, we are letting Paul explain Paul. Paul has been filled by the Holy Spirit of truth. And verse 20 says, "And immediately he proclaimed Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." We can go straight to the book of Romans for an expansion of this glorious gospel, and let's see what Paul says there. Now, there are those who claim that Paul had a progressive revelation. He was gradually given the truths of Ephesians and Colossians, or that he had an overlapping ministry. Well, since Romans was late in the Acts period, surely now he will be talking about those things which were hidden in God and away from previous ages and generations. Let us listen to Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, about his testimony concerning the Son of God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, a called apostle, separated, the very same word in Galatians chapter 1, separated to the gospel of God, which he had promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Verse 3 of Romans says, "About his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was marked out the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Is this the gospel he got by revelation? Well, it's not the revelation of the mystery hidden in God, now is it? He's preaching that Jesus is the Son of God in Acts 9, and now he's preaching the same gospel in Romans chapter 1, and this gospel was promised beforehand in the Holy Scriptures. It doesn't seem there's been much progression between Acts 9 and the last epistle written in the Acts period. If this gospel of God, which Paul preached in Acts 9 and wrote about in the book of Romans, is the gospel Paul received by revelation in Galatians chapter 1, then it's in the Holy Scriptures and is not the revelation Paul received later about the dispensation of the grace of God, even the mystery. In part 2, we will examine Paul's gospel in Acts chapter 13.